Now, Desiree Hellinger's interviews fossil fuel activist Bonnie McKinley about the global climate implications of the Oregon governor's election. She also speaks with Sean Fleek of Opal Environmental Justice about the Oregon Just Transition's upcoming event, Rise for Climate, Jobs and Justice. Desiree?
So my guest today is Bonnie McKinley, who has been a tireless organizer involved in the fossil fuel fight in the Pacific Northwest. Bonnie has been working with Stopped Fracked Gas PDX, along with three regional coalitions, Stand Up to Oil, Power Past Coal, and Power Past Fracked Gas. Bonnie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
So it's not often that we can say that an Oregon election may actually have global implications, but that may well be the case this time. Can you fill us in a little bit about what you think is at stake in the Oregon governor's election?
Well, there are five candidates for governor in the 218 race. Just want to make it clear that I think it's really important to acknowledge all the candidates and hope that all can be involved in any debates. You know, sometimes it just gets limited to the Democratic and Republican candidates. But there is a Constitution Party candidate named Aaron Orr, who's promoting life, liberty, and limited government. Independent Rick Starnes, who I don't know much about his candidacy or his issues, but he's single issue, and his single issue is campaign finance reform, which is very appealing. We need to keep big money out of elections. The Green Party candidate is Alexis de Blasio, and I personally don't know too much about him, but the Green Party's 10 key values are much to be respected, and I agree with them. And then the Republican candidate is Bend State Rep. Newt Bueller. And Newt Bueller does acknowledge that climate change is real and human caused, but he does support fast track, actually, for the permitting of Oregon's biggest climate busting project, the proposed Jordan Cove Energy Project, and its accompanying 230-mile Pacific Connector pipeline. So it's disconcerting to me. I don't think we have much hope of flipping Newt on that. Governor Kate Brown, our incumbent, has not come out for or against the project. It's a dual project. You need the pipeline to ship the gas to Coos Bay, where it's proposed to have a terminal, where the gas will be liquefied and super chill it and make it shrink it in size so it can be loaded on tankers and delivered to Asia. So we have the entirety of Kate Brown's term of office have encouraged her to come out strongly. The tribes and impacted residents, all members from the climate and environmental community have encouraged her to take a position. She says that she cannot do that at this time, and she does say that she'll make sure that her office sees that the permitting process is conducted fairly. So we have had rallies, have bird dogged her at political events, made ads, letters, many phone calls, and so we're hoping that she will take a stand. And she's given actually a lot of indications that she will. She has made some pretty powerful statements on climate. She says that global warming is the biggest threat to Oregon's environment, our economy, our way of life. My personal favorite quote from her is, and she said this more than once in a number of occasions, future generations will judge us not on the fact of global change, but on what we do to tackle it.
And global climate change.
I think that's very significant. At a Friday Forum City Club last May, she also said, Oregon continues to play a leading role in tackling global climate change. We must pursue innovative solutions to reduce carbon emissions while growing the clean energy economy. So we who are battling these projects, these proposals, hope that she will take a similar stand that our Senator Merkley did. He made a very important statement that I have to quote him on. I cannot turn away, this is Senator Jeff Merkley, I cannot turn away from the knowledge that, like other large-scale fossil fuel projects, Jordan Cove will contribute massively to pollution that is profoundly damaging our state and our world. Generations from now, our grandchildren will wonder why we continue to burn fossil fuels when the catastrophic consequences were so evident. So of the five candidates, we think that it's most likely that Governor Brown will take a stand. It's inconsistent for her not to. She's taken a number of courageous stands. She has said no use of Oregon's National Guard to protect the U.S.-Mexican border, and she's been quite vocal on that, and we admire and are very grateful to her for that. And she's taken a very strong stand for Oregon's 30-year sanctuary law and has, in fact, strengthened it, whereas Republican candidate Newt Bueller has come out strongly to repeal the sanctuary law, and that will be on the Oregon ballot in November, ballot measure 105. People may remember Oregon's for immigration reform. We're collecting signatures for initiative petition number 22, and we and all my colleagues and a number of organizations, such as the Sierra Club and Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, ACLU, all are very strongly opposed to repealing Oregon's strong sanctuary law. Ballot measure 105, I hope people vote opposed to it. And I just want to say that Oregon is facing its biggest climate-busting project with the Coos Bay Energy Project and the Pacific Connector Pipeline. That pipeline is proposed to be 230 miles from Malin, which is east of Klamath, and it would create a permanent 90-foot-wide clear cut, which would disrupt and break up animal habitat, would affect farmers and landowners, and serious implications for tribal burial sites, tribal cultural sites, and tribal fishing and economic security. It would be a massive dredging project. Once built, if it was built, and we hope it certainly is never built, it would use the biggest amount of energy Oregon's ever seen. It's slated to go under five major rivers, the Coos, Coquille, Umpqua, Rogue, and Klamath, and hundreds of smaller waterways. And to top it all off, it's proposed to be built in a fragile earthquake tsunami area, and we know that we're overdue for an earthquake off our west coast. So it's pretty bad. It's fracked gas, which in the first 20 years in the Earth's atmosphere, the methane gas contains 86 times more greenhouse gas emissions than carbon dioxide. So it would be the biggest greenhouse gas emitter in the state. And we very much want her to oppose it, and I'm pretty hopeful that she will. It would be the biggest fracked gas, way biggest frack gas proposal on the West Coast, and then we're looking at the world's largest methanol is frack gas, proposed refinery just downriver in Kalama. You know, that's even closer to the Portland area. Of course, proximity in geography doesn't really matter when we think it's the whole planet, and we're concerned about the whole planet and all of its human and non-human inhabitants. So I can say who I might hope people vote for. That's a very personal decision, and voting is just one thing that people can do. It's actually, in some ways, it can have great implications, but there's a lot people can do by learning a lot, talking it up to people, sharing information, joining organizations, starting their own organizations. We have a very sweet and collaborative force, our Thin Green Line, that has crunched a lot of projects in the last 7 years. Governor Brown's main opponent is Newt Bueller, and he has voted against very important issues like against undocumented students, against minimum wage proposals, background checks for firearms, against requiring coverage for abortions and contraceptives, against labeling genetically modified fish, and a very important housing issue, preventing landlords from evicting tenants without a cause. So I just hope that people look at the whole package, not just climate, and consider what they can do as well besides voting.
I've been speaking with fossil fuel activist Bonnie McKinley. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Second guest today is Sean Fleek, who's the Community Engagement Coordinator with OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon. Sean, thanks so much for talking with me today. You're going to tell us a little bit about your upcoming event.
Yeah, we're going to be holding the Rise for Climate, Jobs, and Justice Day of Action in solidarity with actions all around the United States and around the world. The Oregon Just Transition Alliance is a statewide alliance of frontline base building grassroots groups led by people of color and people with low income. That includes rural and tribal communities. We'll be sending a contingent down to San Francisco for the Solutions to Solidarity Summit, but we'll also be holding an event right here in Portland at Glen Haven Park on Saturday, September 8th. And the point of this event is to really show that the climate justice movement in this country exists, to show our decision makers that we not only have demands, but that we intend to enforce them, that we really want to hold accountable our decision makers for their inaction to this point, and that we really draw a lot of connections that people don't necessarily associate with climate. The Oregon Just Transition Alliance has already proposed a three-pronged platform for this event. We oppose Measure 105, the racist anti-immigrant ballot measure that would strike down Oregon's sanctuary city status. We oppose the construction of the Jordan Cove Terminal and the liquid natural gas pipeline through southern Oregon. And we support local initiatives like the Portland Clean Energy Fund, where communities of color actually lead and create policies that would lead to investments in our communities and disinvest from the extractive fossil fuel economy.
Great. It sounds like a great event. Can you tell us again when that is and what the time is?
It's going to be on Saturday, September 8th at Glen Haven Park, which is just off 82nd Avenue and Siskiyou, I believe. And that's at noon that day. And it will run for several hours. We'll have speakers. You'll hear all about the connections to the Just Transition Framework, why we would say that an anti-immigrant measure is a threat to climate justice when you live in a world of climate refugees and white supremacists who want to take control of our democracy and bend it to their will. We believe that Measure 105 is an injustice from a climate perspective. We'll also be talking to folks who oppose the LNG pipeline and who support the Portland Clean Energy Fund.
Okay, great. And we're hoping to have you back on soon, talking a little bit more about the connections between the fossil fuel struggle in the Pacific Northwest and Measure 105. Thank you, Sean.
This has been Desiree Helligers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
All things ain't what they do.